See, when it comes to giving, God is wanting you and me to be faithful, and that requires obedience. So let's be faithful to Him today in our giving. I want to echo what Paul said earlier. Thank you. Well, thank you, church family, for bringing in the candy. Over the weeks and months, you brought in candy and brought in candy and brought in more candy. And so yesterday we had about 20 or so here and just stuffing eggs. And I don't know, but our table was the best. So I don't know. We had a great time. We had a great time stuffing eggs. And we only had just a few pieces that were eaten. They were already opened. That's not true. All right. You can't lie in church. All right. Easter is in 3 weeks, April 20th, and so we want you to be thinking and praying. Family and friends are more likely to attend if they are invited by you. So be thinking, be praying about who you can invite to come with you that day, and maybe they come to lunch or whatever, but let's pack this place out, not for numbers, but for God's glory and for the seeds of His truth to be planted. Well, we are continuing in our year-long series and theme on relationships. Are you tired of me saying that word, relationships, right? It was and is God's idea that we have relationship with Him and with others. God is passionate about His relationship with you and me. Some of you need to hear that again. He's passionate about His relationship with you. And that passion carries over into our relationship with money. It spills over into our relationship with the church. Last week, we began a new series, Relationship with the Mission. Relationship with the Mission. As we live between the first Garden of Eden and the new garden when God will make a new heaven and a new earth, right? We're living in that in-between, but we're not here on this planet randomly or by accident or by chance. In Matthew 28, Jesus gave us the great commission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey His word. As Jesus was teaching a large crowd on the side of a mountain, in Matthew chapter 5, He called them the salt of the earth. You see, salt was used as currency back then, a sign of friendship with a salt covenant. It was used in sacrificial offerings, and it was used medicinally. But they didn't have refrigerators in that hot climate in Palestine, so salt was used to rub onto the meat and to the fish to preserve it, so it wouldn't decay. Salt was used as a preservation agent. Christ followers are called the salt of the earth when their lives have a preservation impact on society. We talked about we are to be seasoned with grace. We're to be seasoned with grace. Paul reminds us to let our conversation be always full of grace and seasoned with salt, gracious and wise with our words. Our words have power to build up and the power to tear down. A sharp criticism or an angry word can tear our Christian testimony or our Christian witness to those outside the faith. We are also to be seasoned for goodness, not only by the words that we say full of grace, but our lives, our actions, our goodness should point people to Jesus. You see, the power of influence of a godly, righteous life in our family, in our neighborhood, at our job, at the office, at school, holding back the corruption. Our life should be adding flavor to the world through our goodness, our goodness. And lastly, we must follow Jesus. We must follow Jesus and His example and not lose our saltiness. See, there's no time to be half-hearted. There's no time to be distracted. There's no time to be full of self-pity, right? We are called the salt of the earth, and we should be seasoned with grace. We should be seasoned with goodness as we follow our Savior. A few years ago, Julie and I had the chance to go out east to the East Coast, and I've never been out East Coast, like along the ocean there, but But we planned a trip to Maine, and we saw some beautiful country, historic buildings and museums. And being on the East Coast, we naturally saw some very old lighthouses. Lighthouses, if you don't know what they are towers. We've got little ears this morning, but the lighthouses are towers that give off light from lamps or lenses to serve as a beacon for ships at sea during storms or during darkness to help prevent boats and ships from crashing or running aground. They are mostly decommissioned or automated today, but most of them have museums attached and even have tours of the actual lighthouses. Now, the first one I want to share is, this is called the Beaver Tail Lighthouse. It's in Jamestown, Rhode Island. This is America's third oldest lighthouse, and it was established in 1749. I think a couple of you were there, right? Were you there? Okay. British sailors, retreating from the American Revolutionary War, they burned the lighthouse in 1779, leaving it dark for the rest of the war. Boo, right? Those British soldiers. But in 1856, the tower was replaced. Pretty amazing. The next one is called the Eastern Point Lighthouse. This is in Gloucester, Massachusetts, and was built in 1832. Now, I didn't take that picture, obviously, right? I'm not in a helicopter there, but that's a picture of it. We were able actually to climb to the top of the stairs of this one. This isn't a super very high lighthouse, but that one was pretty cool. But my favorite lighthouse by far was in Cape Elizabeth, Maine, and it was called the Portland Headlight. The Portland Headlight. And this is Maine's oldest lighthouse. George Washington gave the directive for it to be built in 1787 at a cost of $1,500. And it was first lit on January 10th, 1791, using whale oil. Now, the history of these lighthouses was pretty amazing to see. Today, the U.S. Coast Guard assumes responsibility for all lighthouses and with the U.S. Lighthouse Service, and they did that starting back in 1939. And they maintain all the lighting equipment and making sure they serve and help in navigating for ships and those at sea. But these lighthouses and many others still serve a purpose. They still serve a purpose. Now, we don't use lighthouses today. I want to show you, this is something I have in my office, in my study. And the sun shines on that, and it'll rotate. But we don't use lighthouses, especially in Illinois, because mostly we travel by car, train, or airplane, not by ship anymore. We don't need light from lighthouses to help us see during storms. We use modern technology, satellites to help us navigate. We walk into a room, and what do? We flip on a switch, and there's light. We have lights on our smartphones. We have, at night we turn our headlights on, and we can see. Light is all around us, but we often take it for granted. We often take it for granted. But lighthouses have one purpose, and that's to shine light. To shine light. To shine light so others can see them, not crash, and be saved. Now, according to AI, a lighthouse, is my microphone, is it a little bit of fuzzy? Is it okay? Okay. A lighthouse can be seen for distances ranging from 10 to 30 miles or more. Think about that. Depending on the lighthouse's height, the power of the light source, and weather conditions. So the higher the lighthouse, the farther the light can be seen. Weather conditions can signify, significantly reduce visibility of the light. But the tower itself can be seen up to 5 miles. So meaning that the light shines farther than the lighthouse tower itself. So you might be thinking, sitting there, what in the world do lighthouses have to do with our relationship with the mission? You guys ask such great questions. I don't know if anybody's told you that. The title of my message this morning in this relationship with the mission is Shine Bright the Light. Shine Bright the Light. So let's go back to the scene in Matthew chapter 5, and it's the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is sitting on a mountainside, and he's teaching a large crowd, and he starts out with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. And blessed are the persecuted. He goes through this list. And then he turns and he says, Jesus calls us the salt of the earth to bring flavors of his grace and goodness to a lost and rotting and decaying world. But we need to be more than salt. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, says this, we need to be more than salt, starting with verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Wow. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hill. No one hides the light under a basket or a bowl, but on a lampstand for all to see, and God the Father will be praised and be glorified. See, this is the mission of the church, to be salt and light. Salt and light. You see, salt is kind of hidden, right, and works kind of quietly behind the scenes, but it also can lose its saltiness and be thrown out. But light is open. It's visible, shattering the darkness, but it too can be hidden and become pointless. The first word, you, in that scripture text suggests a sense of you yourselves, right, which means the church as a whole. The word you are, right, signifies that you are a citizen of heaven. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you are the light of the world. You are literally the light in this spiritually dark world. Jesus is the source of all spiritual light, like the sun in the sky. When the sun goes down, right, the moon rises, reflecting the sun's light. Believers, followers of Jesus, are like the moon, reflecting the light of the S-O-N. Jesus says, you are the light, not a light, the light, right? There's a difference there. You are the light, like a city on a hill. You can see it for miles around. Now, the word lamp refers to a oil lamp. I'm not going to do magic, all right? First time. So when it talks about... Whoa. See, when it talks about the lamp in the Bible here in this text, it's a portable lamp fed with oil, which is what this is, right? Not a candle. It's not talking about a candle. The baskets, right, back in those days, in the Roman measurement basket was like of different sizes to measure the dry goods and was common in every home back then. You had a basket. It was a big enough basket that you could cover it with a light. I'm not going to do that today. I'm not going to take this and cover it. But that's what the text is saying. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't light a light and say, oh, let's put a basket over that and cover it, right? The words give light means to radiate brilliancy, right? Beam, to shine. And Jesus is painting a very clear picture here. The household lamp is to give light to everyone, just like Christ's followers are to provide light to this spiritually dark world. You see the correlation? The church is to be the light in every place that we are. Charles Spurgeon put it this way, I would not give much for your religion unless it can be seen. Lamps do not talk, but they do shine. Think about that for a moment. We are a living epistle, a living letter, a walking testimony of the light of Jesus shining in us to the darkness. And oh, how the world loves its darkness. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, "The light came into the world, yet people love the dark rather than the light because their actions were evil. People who do what is wrong hate the light and don't come to the light. They don't want their actions to be exposed. But people who do what is true come to the light so that the things they do for God may be clearly seen." Jesus, the light, came into the world, but people preferred the darkness, right? People hate the light because it will expose their sins. And when it reads people in that text there, that's you and I, right? That was you and I, maybe. But the light of Jesus changed all of that. God shines through us now. The words in verse 16, "your light," means you are responsible for your letting your light shine. Don't worry about your neighbor's light shining, right? Focus on your light. Is your light shining? Let your light shine means to beam. It means to radiate. It means to shine brightly. Jesus isn't making a suggestion here. It's not optional. The light in a lighthouse fulfills its purpose. When a follower of Jesus shines, they're fulfilling the purpose and the mission of the church. Let your light shine before others so they see. They see. The word "see" here refers to not merely the act of seeing, but truly looking, taking special notice of something and being concerned. It's more than just seeing. It's taking an interest and focusing. The word "good" stresses the outward appearance and the usefulness of something to fulfill its purpose. They may see your good works, which are God works, aren't they? Works refers to a task, a deed, actions, and are here to be done in such a way that they can point people to God the Father. You see, the word "glorify" means to give a proper opinion of. Believers who live their lives in a way that honors God and exalts God, and those outside the faith should be able to see God and not us. Are you tracking with me? We are the light of the world. So Jesus not only called you the salt of the earth, but he said that you are the light of the world. How do you shine bright his light? How do you do that? How do you do that in today's society, today's world? Well, the first thing I thought of was, I won't hide the light. I won't hide the light. One Sunday, on their way home from church, a little girl turned to her mother and said, "Mommy, the preacher's sermon this morning confused me." And the mother said, "Oh, why is that?" The little girl replied, "Well, he said that God is bigger than we are. Is that true?" The mother replied, "Yes, that's true, honey. And he also said that God lives in us. Is that true, Mommy?" Again, the mother replied, "Yes." "Well," said the little girl, "if God is bigger than us and he lives in us, wouldn't he show through?" Wow. Wouldn't he show through? That's exactly the point that Jesus is making. As the light of the world, God should be showing through you. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. Your light must shine bright like a city on a hill. Your light is like a lamp sitting on a stand to shine his light. Well, if you think about it, what are some ways that lights won't shine? Well, the light can become dirty. Or the light can be covered up. A light in a Christian's life can be like that is dirty as unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. Just like dust and dirt accumulate on a light bulb. You know what that's like. So the dirtiness of sin can accumulate in our life and affect our brightness. unconfessed sin will keep you from shining bright the light. It really will. The other way that light won't shine is to hide the light by fearing and caring more about what others will think of you than what God thinks of you. Not allowing the light to shine through you by covering the truth that you follow Jesus, that you go to church, you pray, you read your Bible, and that's like hiding your light under a basket, covering it up. People don't light a light and then cover it up. What's the point of lighting the light? Not shining your light isn't an option, so don't cover it up. You see, lights are to be hung high, so they give off the most light. If these lights were down low, right, it would be a little more darker in here. But they're up high so we can see. Believers should look for ways to get their lights to shine greater and brighter and not hide them. I won't hide the light. Secondly, is I am to be the light to my family. I am to be the light to my family. You start shining with those closest to you. You fill your life with Jesus and your light will shine to your family. Scripture says, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. See, your light is for everyone in your house, your family. Consistently living for Jesus, showing, you know, allowing His light to shine through you. Not perfectly. We're not perfect. We're all going to mess up, but it's consistently striving to be a light. Canadian pastor Oswald J. Smith said this, the light that shines the farthest will shine the brightest at home. The light that shines the farthest will shine brightest at home. Think about that, mom and dad, grandparents, spiritual parents. Your influence of godly character in the home is powerful. It will help raise kids. It will help raise grandkids to love Jesus. It's not talking about, I'm not talking about controlling your family or your kids, but loving and correcting and being the light of Jesus in your home. As you follow Jesus, they follow you. I won't hide the light that's in me, and being the light to my family begins in my home. I am to be the light to the world. Not just light of the world, but a light to the world, your world. And as the light shines bright in your home, naturally the light should also shine outside your home, in your neighborhood, at your job, your work, in your school, shining bright the light to your spouse, your friends, your family, strangers even. Scripture says your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Don't hide it. That's pretty bright. Even if I shine your eyes, some of you are like, is that bright, Brendan? Okay. Gotta make sure this guy's awake. All right. I can't see Dwayne still, even though that window's right behind him. There's Dave. That's annoyingly, right? Let me find the kids. There's one right there, and there's Violet right there, I see. There's Novi. There's a kid right there, Jay. Okay. I see Tom way back there in the back. There he is. Andrew. Elise just took a picture of me and I shined the light right on her. See, don't shine your light annoyingly into people's eyes.
Too late.
But spiritually speaking, sometimes we can be like this in people's face. Spiritually. Hey. We're going to do this, right? We're going to do this. Wow. But your life and the way you live it is so attractive that others can see the light inside of you. You are the light of the world to the world. Shine bright the light. How do you shine your light to others? Well, you're letting your light shine before others so that they may see your good works, your good actions, the things that you do. You see, you're not posing, you're not grandstanding so others can see your good works. Oh, here they come, here we go. I'm going to do something good. They're watching now. That's not what we're talking about. But like a lighthouse, you naturally just shine because it's deep inside of you. And if you do that, Jesus said in John 12:32, when I am lifted up from the earth, what? I will draw everyone to me. And as you lift Jesus up, he will draw them to himself. You are to be the light to the world. Relationship with the mission. Our relationship with the mission is to be the salt of the earth and to be the light of the world. Jesus said to be the salt, be the light. Our relationship with the mission is to shine bright the light. We don't produce the light, but like the moon that reflects the light of the sun, we reflect the light of God. But this world is so dark, this world is so evil and full of corruption and sin. But remember, the darker the night, the brighter the light shines. This world needs the church more than ever. So let's decide not to hide the light, to not allow our light to dim, right? When we sin, we come to God daily in confession and in repentance, praying like David in Psalm 51, create in me a pure heart, O God. We choose not to hide our faith in Jesus out of fear of people. We want our light to shine bright, right? To shine bright, not to shine, not to go out, because we're embarrassed, because we fear what people think. We want our light to shine bright. We want to be the light to our families, pursuing God together. Those closest to us are impacted the most by our lights, how we live our life. And we want to be the light to the world. And as a church, Peace Chapel, we want to lift Jesus up. We want to point people to Jesus. When we do that together, he draws others to himself, and he's doing it. He's doing it. So let's do our part and be the light to the world. This little light of mine, what? I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, come on. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel.
No.
I'm gonna let it shine. Let me hear you. Hide it under a bushel.
No.
I'm gonna let it. One more time. Hide it under a bushel.
No.
I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. One commentator said this, that the church has lost its influence in the community because Christians have neglected their responsibility to be salt and light in the world. As we have neglected to be what God has called us to be, the world has decided to ignore us. And the flip side of that is also true. When Christians decide to be salt and light, the world pays a close attention to what we say and do. When we are salt and light, the world listens to us. When we aren't, they don't. D.L. Moody once said this, "A Christian is the world's Bible. It is a great deal better to live a holy life than to talk about it. We are told to let our light shine, and if it does, we won't need to tell anybody it does. The light will be its own witness. Lighthouses don't ring bells and fire cannons to call attention to their shining. They just shine." That's what we're called to do, church. Lighthouses just shine day in and day out. Sometimes their lights grow dim and grow out, but they remember that their purpose is to be the light to the world, for the world. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 5 in the Message paraphrase. It says this, you're here to be the light bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make your If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. Be by opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Can we do that this morning? Let's shine bright the light. Let's pray.